Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Isn't it interesting that probably the best news for the market and for potential swing voters that voted a week ago was just released this morning? Now, regardless of your views on vaccinations, I think it is widely agreed upon that the news of a effective vaccine would help the markets and also help President Trump. All throughout the October debates, President Trump was pressed relentlessly about when will there be a vaccine? When will there be a vaccine? Kamala Harris said she would not trust a vaccine that was produced while President Trump was president. And now breaking this morning, Pfizer and their partner BioNTech said today that their vaccine against COVID-19 was strongly effective, exceeding expectations with results that are likely to be met with cautious excitement and relief in the face of the global pandemic. Pfizer continued to say that they had decided in late October that they wanted to drop the 32-case interim analysis. The FDA was aware of this decision. Discussions between the agency and the companies concluded, and testing began this last past Wednesday. Why wasn't this news made public a couple weeks ago? The Dow, S&P, hit records on Pfizer Chinese coronavirus 19 vaccine progress. Oil soars. The Dow, as we are recording this, is up 3.7%. S&P 500 up 2.5%. Pfizer, which is a pharmaceutical company, made a decision in collusion with the Food and Drug Administration not to announce this favorable news for President Trump in the midst of an election cycle. Why? According to opensecrets.org, Pfizer contributed $256,520 to the Joe Biden for President campaign. Pfizer contributed $152,120 to the Democratic senatorial campaign. Pfizer contributed $106,859 to the DNC Services Corporation and $99,811 to the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. And to add insult to injury, Pfizer employees contributed $37,703 to Bernie Sanders' campaign and $35,352 to the Pete Buttigieg for President campaign. This goes back to exactly what we were warning you about a week ago, that if Vice President Biden becomes president, the corporatist influence in our country will be platformed and merged seamlessly with the federal government. This Pfizer news with the vaccine, again, just dismiss any sort of preconceptions you have about vaccines. This is not about vaccines, okay? This is about the news that we knew was going to be positive, okay? With the S&P 500, Dow Jones, and NASDAQ roaring, why is it that Pfizer did not release this news when they had it 10 days ago? The reason? Election interference. It's the exact same reason why the activist media did not cover the Hunter Biden story. It's the exact same reason why the activist media did not cover the fact that Hunter Biden is currently under FBI investigation for money laundering. That there was a convergence of influences. Big tech, which funded hundreds of millions of dollars of conveniently placed drop boxes. Pharmaceutical companies that withheld positive vaccine news that would have helped the president. Wall Street bankers that contributed heavily to Joe Biden's campaign. activist organizations that allegedly help ballot launder in the key states and the key cities, election officials that said stop counting votes in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee. All of these forces came together. And many of you had faith that if enough people rose up, we would be able to defeat this. And this vaccine story, I think, is the most flagrant of all recent stories. Why did they not even announce the results on Friday or Thursday? The reason is that Pfizer wanted to wait until Joe Biden was coronated as president so that Joe Biden could get the credit for this. So Joe Biden can now allegedly enter as president, and this race is far from over with all of the voter fraud questions that we need answered. But this is their plan, that Joe Biden can enter as president-elect with a vaccine, according to Pfizer and BioNTech, that is 90% effective. How do you think the election would have went last Tuesday if this vaccine news would have been released when they had the news? According to statnews.com, Pfizer and BioNTech had this information in late October. They sat on this news. They directly interfered with the U.S. presidential election. And that is why every single Republican senator, Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, should open an investigation from the United States Senate into Pfizer, subpoena all their internal communications immediately for election interference as to why they chose November 9th to release this information. Anyone that owns Pfizer stock, you have a fiduciary right and responsibility to look into why Pfizer decided to wait till today for this news. The Federal Election Commission should open an investigation into Pfizer, because this right here very well could have won Donald Trump the White House. And President Trump was saying throughout the campaign, there should be a vaccine coming soon. There should be a vaccine coming soon. And if nothing else, it would be a psychological lift for the American people and for markets and for some of the economic uncertainty that a lot of people were facing. And if Joe Biden squeaks by, despite all of the fraud and the ballot laundering, he will have only won this election by 20 to 25,000 votes. Do you think that this positive news about a vaccine would have helped 20 or 25,000 voters in Georgia, Arizona, or Pennsylvania, states with sizable senior populations? What we are seeing in real time is the convergence of globalist, international-minded, corporatist interests, from big technology to big banks to Hollywood to athletics to pharmaceuticals, that are all marching in harmony to silence the middle-class worker, to suffocate the muscular class in this country, and with it, President Donald Trump. This should outrage you, everybody. And yeah, I've been getting text messages from people that are in the 1%. God bless them. They say, my stocks are doing really well today. Okay, great. If that's the most important thing, just your stock portfolio, maybe you will like Joe Biden as president, because they're just going to keep on pumping stimulus and quantitative easing. I actually care about middle-class workers that don't have a significant amount of their net worth tied into the market. And Joe Biden is not to be credited for this. Joe Biden is not even officially president-elect. We still have recounts happening in Georgia, Pennsylvania, hundreds of thousands of ballots that could potentially be invalidated, and massive amounts of questions that we need answered about irregularities, 14,000 dead people on the voter rolls. We have a list of every single dead person that has voted in the state of Michigan. Allegedly voted. And so, who from Pfizer was calling the shots here? We already said Pfizer gave $256,000 to Joe Biden, $152,000 to the Democrat Senatorial Committee, $106,000 to DNC Services, and the $99,000 to the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee.
You guys have heard me talk about Good Ranchers before. They do such a great job. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat right to your door. GoodRanchers.com, get 100% American-raised beef straight to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed grain right now, finished beef, delivered straight to your door. It's GoodRanchers.com. Make sure you tell them that our show sent you. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you can fill your freezer with quality meats at GoodRanchers.com. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts and overseas beef buying from the other guys. Get the American beef cuts your family deserves with Good Ranchers. Buy today at GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered straight to your door. Visit GoodRanchers.com to find the perfect package for your family. Get the good stuff with Good Ranchers. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie.
Are we ready to play the clip of President Donald Trump warning about the drug companies? So today, on the surface, good news. Pfizer and BioNTech announces a vaccine. Again, I'm not going to take this vaccine, so I'm not the one that's all of a sudden saying that this is, you know, the pro-Pfizer vaccine thing. What it is, though, it's a psychological boost. We know that, okay? It very well would have been an amazing and incredible political boost for President Trump if this would have been announced a week ago. But Pfizer, who gave over $256,000 in hard money to Joe Biden and $152,000 for a Democrat Senate and $106,000 to DNC Services Corporation and $99,000 to the Democrat Congressional Committee, they just interfered in the election. And it says in this article that they had it ready in October. And some people are alleging that they didn't work with, or the government didn't work with them. That's not true. They got $2 billion to make this happen at warp speed. And you're trying to tell me that 6 days after an election, they make this announcement that now boosts stocks to record highs? Listen to President Donald Trump. I think he was giving this speech in Ohio about a month and a half ago. He kind of foreshadowed all this. Play tape.
They are so wealthy. Nobody has any idea who the hell they are, what they do. They make more money than the drug companies. You know, in all fairness, at least the drug companies have to produce a product, and it has to be a good product. But the middlemen, well, the rebate that I'm doing cuts out the middlemen and it reduces costs, and the money goes back to the people purchasing the drugs. And there are a lot of unhappy people, and they're very rich people, and they're very unhappy.
He's talking about the very rich people that are run your drug companies. And President Donald Trump declared war on the pharmaceutical companies, which, interestingly enough, used to be a position of the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democrat Party, which, again, we love free enterprise, we love competition, but we do not like corporatism. Corporatism is the merging of massive multi-billion-dollar corporate interests with our U.S. taxpayer-funded government together to squeeze out competition, entrepreneurs, and middle-class workers. So President Donald Trump was correctly challenging this corporatist model and landscape that pre-existed him to bring drug prices down, and Pfizer didn't like that. That's why Pfizer gave so generously to the Joe Biden campaign. But Pfizer right here has just interfered more in an election than Russia ever did. Pfizer interfered with this presidential election more than the Kremlin did in 2016. If this vaccine news would have been announced when they had it in late October, the market would have added another couple thousand points. President Donald Trump would have correctly been able to take credit for the vaccine. Senior voters probably would have trended even more in President Donald Trump's direction. And a lot of the ballot laundering nonsense that we have seen across the country, it wouldn't have been enough cheating for them to allegedly been able to go over the top, at least on the surface in these states. Big tech didn't allow New York Post to have their Twitter account for over 10 days. None of the activist media covered Tony Bobulinski or the fact that Hunter Biden is under FBI investigation for money laundering. None of the activist media networks covered how Joe Biden was the chairman of the board of the Biden crime family internationally. Hollywood pumped in hundreds of millions of dollars to Senate races and to Joe Biden. Professional athletics opened up voting centers in NBA sporting arenas across the country. The big banks all supported Joe Biden with tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in contributions. The most powerful people in the country that have abused this country for decades, they saw such a threat in Donald Trump and you. This has been the most coordinated attack on normal people in American history. And this Pfizer news is the most obvious evidence of how all of us were played by corporate America. All of us. From PepsiCo giving $400 million to BLM Incorporated that's untraced, to the tech companies taking down videos they don't like, and now the drug and pharmaceutical companies conveniently waiting 6 days after an election to release the good news so Biden can get credit for it.
Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you rather just work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get with PureTalk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, if you're with them, you're overpaying pure and simple. PureTalk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to PureTalk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say the keyword Charlie Kirk. PureTalk, simply smarter, wireless.
The most powerful people on the planet put their minds, their money, their time, and their attention all together to defeat Donald Trump. Through ballot laundering, social media tech fraud, delayed vaccine results, and activist media that ignored any and all coverage of the Hunter Biden story, President Donald Trump fell right into a 2020 election trap that was designed simply and solely to make America return to a globalist, open border, pro-China policy portfolio. There's a great article here from Newsbusters. Fact, big media and big tech stole the 2020 election. It's from my friend Brent Bozell. He's terrific. And it says here, when Biden voters were asked, quote, if you had been aware of the actual evidence in emails, texts, and testimony and banking transactions being investigated by the FBI regarding Joe Biden, would you have still voted for Joe Biden? 4.7% said they would not vote at all. 1.7% said they would have voted instead for President Trump. So the net effect is 4.6% of Biden's overall vote. This is according to a nationwide survey of 1,000 voters, pretty good sample size. So extrapolating this data, Arizona, Trump would have had a 58,000 vote advantage in Arizona. Trump would have won. In Georgia, he would have 103,000 vote advantage. Trump would have won. In North Carolina, Trump still probably is going to win, but he would have won convincingly by 197,000 votes. In Pennsylvania, 108,000 votes. Wisconsin, 54,000 votes. I guarantee you if there would be a poll that said, would you have voted for President Donald Trump had you known that Pfizer and BioNTech were sitting on positive vaccine news with a market soaring, with the rallies that President Trump was doing and the crowds that he was gathering and the grassroots energy that he was generating, President Donald Trump would have been unstoppable 6 days ago. And even with big tech stealing the election, even with the ballot laundering, let me tell you this. And let's go to the side angle here if we can, Terrell. That Republicans won 28 of 29 competitive House seats. We flipped three state legislators and we did not lose a single House seat. Despite all the cheating and the lying and the double standard, President Donald Trump did 1 point better in Washington, D.C., 5 points better in San Francisco versus 2016, that is. 5 points better in Chicago, 15 points better in Miami, the same in L.A. and Boston. But somehow President Trump did 5 points worse in Atlanta, 5 points worse in Dane County, Madison, Wisconsin, despite the university being closed, and 5 points worse in Detroit. You're trying to tell me that there were 500,000 ballots that were cast just for Joe Biden, 62,800 in Wisconsin, 98,000 in Pennsylvania, 85,000 in Georgia, 42,000 in Arizona, and 69,000 to 115,000 in Michigan. How do we explain the 100% ballot drop in Michigan, where just every ballot that was dropped was just for Joe Biden? Why is no one asking about Dominion voting systems? And why did the counting stop in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee? Why was there a 1,776% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds in Pennsylvania? We're going to get to that in a second because it's very interesting. It confirms the New York Times actually confirms my suspicion and my thesis that I had yesterday. I'll walk you through it. Donald Trump won every single bellwether county that has accurately predicted the president of the United States since 1956. 6,000 voters had their votes changed because of Dominion voting systems in Michigan, 30% vote total. 4,250 missing ballots happen in Republican areas in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. There's evidence to show that there's 9,000 ballots that were cast in Nevada from out-of-state residents and citizens. There are 14,000 dead people on the rolls in Michigan. Evidence shows that over 10,000 of them voted. There's 95% turnout in Philadelphia, 95% turnout. All of this when Biden had no ground game. The BBC in 2016 said how to tell vote rigging. This is publicly funded in the BBC. It says high turnout in specific areas. Even where turnout is within the bounds of possibility, if the figure is wildly different from turnout elsewhere, it serves as a warning. Oh, really? You mean like 95% warning? Why would one particular area or one individual polling station have a 90% turnout while most other areas register less than 70%? So let me read this. This is very interesting. This is the BBC. It says, you never get a 98 or 99% turnout in an honest election. You just don't. I'm reading from the BBC. It's not exactly Breitbart. And they say this, that even in countries that have mandatory voting, where you could face a fine, like in Australia, they still only reach 90 to 95% with mandatory voting. Continues by saying, how to spot the telltale signs of vote rigging? The BBC ends their article by saying, delay in announcing results. Finally, something that actually confirms our suspicion. But the official process, if it takes time, especially with poor communications and the introduction of modern electronic transmission, has not necessarily helped. This is the BBC. It says, vote rigging. How to tell the telltale signs. In 2012, the New York Times wrote a story. Error and fraud at issue as absentee voting rises. There's a part here that confirms my thesis from yesterday. I'm trying to find it. It's called Granny Farming. I just printed out this story. I'm trying to find it here. So in this story, it talks about how nursing homes are a opportunity. Oh, here it is. How nursing homes are an opportune place for criminal ballot laundering.
So there's a multi-trillion dollar money laundering community, or there's a multi-trillion dollar money laundering operation in America every single year or across the planet. Why wouldn't there also be a ballot laundering operation? Organized crime is real. It's sophisticated. They're relentless, and they're very, very good at what they do. We're talking about organized crime. We're not talking about petty crime of people that walk into stores. We're talking about people that plan thoughtfully on how to break the law to enrich themselves. The New York Times wrote, as more vote by mail, faulty ballots could impact elections. This is the New York Times, everybody. Fraud easier via mail. Election administrators have a shorthand name for a central weakness of voting by mail. They call it granny farming. The problem, said Murray A. Greenberg, a former county attorney in Miami, is, quote, is really with the collection of absentee ballots at the senior citizen centers. In Florida, people affiliated with political campaigns, quote, help people vote absentee, and help is in quotation marks. Voters in nursing homes can be subjected to subtle pressure, outright intimidation, or fraud. The secrecy of their voting is easily compromised, and their ballots can be intercepted, both coming and going. Now, if you go back to our broadcast last evening, and I'm going to continue to read this, we're doing a broadcast, by the way, on our radio program every day, and we're doing one every night, and we will be back tonight on Facebook and YouTube going live for a couple hours. Is I sat down a couple nights ago, and I thought to myself, if I was the bad guys, what would I do? I put my metaphorical criminal thinking hat on. Any good detective does this. How would I pull this off if I was a ballot launderer? And I thought to myself, what would Marty Bird do? If you guys ever seen the show Ozark, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What would Marty Bird do? I'd clean the ballots. I'd clean the money. And then I thought to myself, one of these numbers we have here, could we switch to the side camera, please? One of these numbers we have here, the 1,776% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds. I said, that's the most important number. You can see it right up here, top left. Go back to the main camera. I said, why would there be a 1,776% increase in 90-plus-year-olds registering to vote in Pennsylvania in the midst of a pandemic? Why would that happen? I thought to myself, when most 90-plus-year-olds in nursing homes and elderly homes are quarantined during a pandemic, if I was a criminal ballot launderer, that is a huge opportunity to go intercept ballots coming and going. This is before I read this New York Times article, where the New York Times said again, and their ballots can be intercepted, both coming and going. So if I was a criminal trying to influence elections, and by the way, there's plenty of indictments that show that. We have here on the Charlie Kirk Show 128 pages of indictments of people that have committed voter fraud in just the last couple years. 128 pages. So yes, there is evidence of widespread voter fraud. So if I was a criminal ballot launderer, I would go register a bunch of people to vote that are vulnerable. 1,776% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds. I would make sure that there are millions of ballots being sent out all across the state of Pennsylvania. 1.8 million absentee ballots sent out across all of Pennsylvania. And then you have a 40 to 45 day window to go scoop up the ballots. And now, mind you, this does not take a massive criminal operation. We're talking about 35 to 40 hardened criminals. And yes, we do know criminals exist in our world, to go scoop up those ballots, fill them in. And here's the key point that everyone is missing. You clean the ballots. You mix them with legitimate ballots when you ballot harvest and drop them off in those drop boxes
that were on city corners all across the country and all across Philadelphia. Signed, sealed, deliver, crime committed, impossible to trace.
Look, a lot of people talk about censorship on social media. I know I do. And the left wants to silence and remove any voices they don't agree with. Twitter and Facebook were supposed to be open platforms. I don't need their content moderators acting like the op-ed section of the failing New York Times. So instead of letting social media sites revoke your right to free speech, how about revoking their right to your data? Now you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but that would just give the left just what they wanted. Instead, I use ExpressVPN. Ever wonder how free-to-access sites like Facebook make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your available data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. And ExpressVPN couldn't be easier to set up. You just use one tap right there, and ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data, protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. It's finally time to say no to censorship and take back your online privacy. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. By visiting my special link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Protect your data today.
People say that voter fraud does not exist. We have 182 pages of documented indicted voter fraud, and just imagine if we actually looked into voter fraud as much as we look into other crimes in our country. Jessica from Oregon emailed us last evening, which confirms our thesis and theory of ballot laundering. Hi, Charlie. My sister has been in the hospital for weeks now and has had alcoholic dementia. She is not of sound mind at all. We live in Oregon, which is all vote by mail. It's true. Somehow, she was sent 3 ballots, one sent to our parents, one sent at a past address, and another is Astoria, Oregon, right where I live. They received her ballot on October 28th, but she was in the hospital and she did not fill out anything. She could not have filled it out and sent it in. Literally impossible. Also, she's a registered Democrat. When she said received ballot, she voted. Her sister, who's in the hospital with alcoholic dementia, and she actually sent us the Oregon Secretary of State's website. It says right here, your ballot was received on October 28th, 2020. That's the state of Oregon. In Clatsop County. This is a term that we've been using called ballot laundering. It's no different than money laundering. And here's the issue, is that if you go to a laundromat or a restaurant and you're suspicious of them laundering money, here's how money laundering works. You work for the cartel. You're selling a bunch of drugs. You're doing it in cash. You got to get rid of a bunch of cash. So you have to clean the money. And if any of you have seen Ozark, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. You go find a couple established businesses that deal primarily in cash. And then you start to clean the money through receipts, through false transactions. But it looks real to an independent auditor as to not to show too much spike in business activity. That is the sequence of how you would, quote unquote, clean money. But here's the problem, is that if you went to a laundromat and you said, show me all your dollar bills, and they start counting the dollar bills, they'll all be legitimate dollar bills. That's not the point. The point is who is coming into that place of business to try and put real dollar bills into the system, and where do they come from? That's the question we must be asking about ballot laundering. So you have drop boxes all across these major metropolitan areas, conveniently mostly in swing states, in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee. And I don't doubt that the ballots that were being used and counted were legitimate ballots. I don't doubt that. That's not the question. I don't doubt that that it showed Biden or showed Trump. I don't doubt that. What I do doubt is who actually filled out these ballots and who were they sent to. We have right here a printout of people that are dead, that it says voted, all caps, exclamation point, in the state of Michigan. How about Joyce Mizga, who was born in 1919? How about Marie Pratt? It says voted, born in 1920. She'd be 100 years old. Or how about Willie Kennedy, who would be 108, voted in the state of Michigan? Georgia Thompson, 1914, voted. Mary Waltos, 1919, voted. The point is this, is that, and this goes on for pages, and we have 1,300 that we know of right here. Violet Barbette is the last on our list, 1919, voted, ballot received. Michigan says these are all clerical errors. I don't believe them. I don't. And so if I was a prosecutor, which I'm not, and if our Department of Justice was doing their job, which they're not, I would open a criminal investigation. And here's the key. Look at the fingerprints on any person who is 95 or older in the state of Pennsylvania that was newly registered. That's all you have to do. Now, maybe the people that were doing this were wearing gloves because of the, quote, pandemic. I don't know. I don't know if they thought that. I don't know if they thought this that far through. Right there, the fingerprints on the ballots could find it. And by the way, the 182 pages of criminal indictments that we have right here go to show that when they do prosecute voter fraud, fingerprints on ballots is how they actually do it. Ballot laundering has been going on in California for a couple years right now, for years now. And they've cleaned the ballots. And we're going to go through in the next hour Benford's Law and also the randomness that doesn't exist in the actual vote counting. For example, when you have all these absentee ballots, they should be blended in with others. Why is it that the rate of how they were being counted had no acts of randomness whatsoever, violating Benford's Law? People that have doctorates in statistics are saying that would be like flipping a coin and getting heads every single time.
Everyone wants their home and their family to be safe. Whether it's from a break-in, a fire, flooding, or a medical emergency, SimpliSafe Home Security delivers award-winning 24/7 protection. With SimpliSafe, you don't just get an arsenal of cameras and sensors, you get the best professional monitors in the business. They've got your back day and night, ready to send police, fire, or EMTs when you need them most, straight to your door. SimpliSafe has an arsenal of sensors and cameras that protect every inch of your home. You can get it yourself in up to 30 minutes. It's super easy. Then SimpliSafe professionals take over, monitoring your home 24/7, ready to send help the moment there's an alarm. Plus, with SimpliSafe, there's no long-term contract, no hidden fees or installation costs. Right now, my listeners get a free home security camera when they purchase SimpliSafe right now and use the code Charlie. It's SimpliSafe.com/Charlie. You can always get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. Secure your home, SimpliSafe.com/Charlie for your free security camera today. That's SimpliSafe.com/Charlie, SimpliSafe.com/Charlie.
Let's just go through some of these examples. Ashley Dunlop pleaded guilty to the charge of aiding the fraudulent application of a ballot in connection to the misconduct surrounding an East Chicago Democratic mayoral primary election. Fraud in 2003 mayoral primary was widespread, and the Indiana Supreme Court ultimately overturned the election results and ordered a special election and a different winner. They go on and on and on of people that have committed verified voter fraud from across the country. Yet people say that voter fraud does not exist. Ballot laundering is the term that we are using. You guys can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Can someone explain the 10,000 plus people that seem to have voted in the Michigan election that are now deceased? We have a list here of just about 1,300 of them, and this is from the Michigan Secretary of State website, where it says, Tony Larini, born in 1920, voted. Eddie Cole, born in 1920, voted. We'll make this available on charliekirk.com as well. Isn't it suspicious how Pfizer comes out with the vaccine with BioNTech 6 days after an election? Why is it that they waited until after the election? Could it be that Pfizer contributed $256,000 to Joe Biden and $152,000 to the Democratic Senatorial Committee? Pfizer, similar to big tech and many of the other corporate interests in our country, were working in tandem and working in harmony to destroy Donald Trump at all costs. I want to get to some cuts here. Can we get to cut 18, Mark Levin explaining Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2
of the U.S. Constitution, talking about how the state legislators actually have the final say. Play cut 18.
Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in Congress.
The founding generation sitting in Philadelphia undoubtedly thought, well, should we have the state Supreme Court make the determination? No, we want what? This is a very democratic with a small d approach. We want the legislatures, those closest to the people, the state legislatures. They're the bosses, not the governor.
And that's exactly right. The state legislators have the final say on exactly who will become the electors in this case. If the states do not investigate this, they are the last line of defense. Investigate Dominion voting systems, the counting stopping in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee. Or how about the undervote in Michigan in 2016 versus 2020, where the 500,000 ballots that were cast just for Biden, the 62,800 in Wisconsin, 98,000 in Pennsylvania, 85,000 in Georgia, the 42,000 in Arizona, or the 69 to 115,000 in Michigan, or the 95% turnout in Philadelphia, all paired together with no Biden ground game. Let's go to cut 19 on how Ken Starr says what happened in Pennsylvania is a constitutional travesty.
And what happened in Pennsylvania over these recent weeks is a constitutional travesty. Happily, in recent days, we've seen Justice Samuel Alito step in as a single justice. He has the power to do it. And essentially, in a very short order, say the legislature is the boss. What the governor did, this is my interpretation, is utterly unconstitutional. What the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did is utterly unconstitutional. It's just clear.
Let's play cut 20 when Ken Starr finishes off by saying the Supreme Court is likely to step in and take the case. Play cut 20.
Or most likely is that the Supreme Court will now do its duty. In the Pennsylvania case, because it was very clear from the outset that what the governor did and what the state Supreme Court did was utterly unconstitutional. So it's a lawless act. And at this stage, the Supreme Court has a solemn duty in light of the nature of the issue and the stakes at hand has to take the case.
And the Supreme Court absolutely does have to take the case, but it is the state legislators that have to intervene and look after all of this irregular voting fraud, voting patterns and alleged voting fraud, I should say. And so almost all distributions when it comes to big numbers follow something called Benford's Law. And so you look at Allegheny County. Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, when it came to Donald Trump and Joe Jorgensen, followed Benford's Law. So as you can see here, Joe Jorgensen, Donald Trump, but Joe Biden did not follow it at all. There's no act of randomness here. So here's the way that it works. It says, here's the summary. Both Philadelphia and Allegheny counties report suspiciously low numbers of votes in this data set. The question is, are these the final actual totals of votes? If it is something earlier than final, that might indicate that the actual numbers of voters was relatively low. And Democrats then use prior turnout numbers to hide the fact that they were manufacturing votes. The votes for Biden are unusually high for 10 counties, reporting an excess of 244,000 votes in excess of expectation. These deviations are legitimate reasons to insist on closely monitored recounts. Another way to track down fraudulent votes is to look at how many of the votes did little or no down-ticket voting. When manufacturing votes, it is too time-consuming to vote for other office holders. A standard voter fraud method, Benford's Law, flags Allegheny County as suspect. Same with Milwaukee. And this is, we are reading here from a very thoughtful article that was written online by a group of statisticians who understand that there was no act of randomness whatsoever when it came to the Allegheny County voting. None. And yet the activist media is going to say that this is nothing to look at. I mean, how many more pieces of information do we need to come to the conclusion that the fix is almost certainly in. 6,000 votes changed in Michigan. President Trump wins every bellwether county since 1956. 9,000 Nevada ballots out of state. A 1,776% increase in voter registration in Pennsylvania for people that are 90 plus years old. 500,000 ballots found just for Joe Biden. 62,800 in Wisconsin, 98,000 in Pennsylvania, 85,000 in Georgia, 42,000 in Arizona, and 69 to 115,000 in Michigan. No Biden ground game at all whatsoever. And Republicans won 28 of 29 competitive House seats, flipped three state legislators, and did not lose a single House seat. President Trump did better in D.C. by a point versus 2016, 5 points better in San Francisco, 5 points better in Chicago, 15 points better in Miami-Dade County, and the same in Los Angeles and Boston. Yet 5 points worse in Detroit, 5 points worse in Dane County, Madison, and 5 points worse in Atlanta. And we read here from the BBC's own article, how do you fix elections? And what are the warning signs? Actually, the New York Times article is even more instructive. It talks about here, fraud easier via mail. Voters in nursing homes can be subjected to subtle pressure, outright intimidation or fraud. The secrecy of their voting is easily compromised, especially in a Chinese coronavirus atmosphere. What's to stop them? And their ballots can be intercepted both coming and going. The problem is not limited to the elderly, of course. Absentee ballot also makes it much easier to buy and sell votes. This is the New York Times that's reporting on this. Today's sponsor is one that we've been working with for a while right now, Vincero. V-I-N-C-E-R-O. Vincero watches create the most amazing looking watches at such an incredible price point. Seriously, watches that are so stunning and they're still under $200. The guys on their team sent over some watches and I have enjoyed wearing them with great regularity. For a lot of brands, it's all about the bottom line, not the customer. Vincero is different. These guys know just how important it is to look and feel your best. But above all, they treat their customers right. We will always go above and beyond to make sure you are taken care of. Vincero offers free shipping, 60-day returns, and guarantees your watch for 2 years. Take advantage of 15% off everything on their website. Vincero has styles for men and women, as well as accessories. It's VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. When you purchase the discount Kirk, it's automatically applied at checkout. It's the best watches out there. Mr. Producer loves wearing them. Go to VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. VinceroWatches/Kirk.
I'd like to play some sound here. Let's play cut 24 of how Morning Joe on MSNBC called the stock gains the, quote, Biden rally. Play cut 24.
This morning, Dow futures rose more than 400 points.
Well, look at that.
Howdy do.
You know what they call that?
What's that?
The Biden rally.
Oh.
That's Joe Scarborough. And despite the fact that Pfizer held on to the news about the vaccine, which should be investigated by the Federal Election Commission and should be investigated criminally, they said, quote, Gruber said that Pfizer and the BioNTech had decided in late October that they wanted to drop the 32-case interim analysis. The FDA was aware of this decision. Discussions between the agency and the companies concluded, and testing began this past Wednesday. This means that the statistical strength of the result is likely far stronger than it was originally expected. They had this in late October, and they decided not to announce it. Why? We already went through how Pfizer, some of the top Democrat political donors out there, Pfizer directly interfered with this election as a publicly traded company because they wanted Donald Trump out of office. The Milwaukee City Wire shows preliminary Milwaukee County election records show at least four felons ineligible to vote casted absentee ballots in the November 3rd general election. Says Milwaukee felons cast absentee ballots in 2020 election. So we already have evidence of what's something that's happening in Wisconsin. And the Trump campaign staff claims to have statistical evidence of fraud in Wisconsin. As the president's path to 270 electoral votes continues to narrow because of the new results, the Washington Examiner says one member of President Trump's reelection team who spoke with the Washington Examiner on condition of anonymity said ballot data in Milwaukee indicates illegal activity by Democrats in the city.
the distribution of those ballots in favor of presumptive President-elect Joe Biden, the individual alleged, violates Benford's law, as we have talked about, an analytical framework used by statisticians when observing a set of randomized data points. Benford's law is often used by election analysts, both in the United States and abroad, to detect voter fraud or any sorts of improprieties in elections. In third world countries, they look at Benford's law if they're trying to steal any sort of election. And voter fraud is rampant all across the planet as it is here. And Benford's law should be reason enough why the Republican legislature in Wisconsin and Michigan, Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia should open up a criminal investigation immediately or hearings and ask, how is all of this possible? Can we show the Benford's law on the screen? So you see, this is a law of large numbers. And you can see in the bottom right is Biden's data. Is that right? I can't quite see what we're looking at there. Yeah, bottom right is Biden's data. Do you see how every one of those other charts seem to behave in the same manner? And yet when you stuff, this is Philly, Milwaukee, and Detroit. And when you interrupt a flow of randomness, which is what happens when you do not interfere, all of a sudden you're going to have data that violates Benford's law. And the bottom is Biden's, the top is Trump's. So you see how Trump's behaves in a certain pattern, and you see how Biden's does not. Again, this is a law of mathematics. This is not just some sort of conjecture. The article finishes by saying, recounts rarely result in overturning tens of thousands of ballots, as the Trump campaign hopes to see in Wisconsin, but this is more than a recount. Now, this is Allegheny County. Look at this. So you can see that natural red curve. And if those of you on radio, I'll have to dictate it to you. The natural red curve has a downward slope. You see Biden's election results in Allegheny County on the left completely violate Benford's law. Just completely and totally violate it. And so there's another incredible Pennsylvania voter analysis that we'll go through in the next segment. And it's done by Pennsylvania voter analysis Briggs. It says, as a citizen and scientist, John Droz, I have one objective regarding the 2020 elections, that all legitimate votes be counted. We're going to go through this piece by piece. And it's horrifying when you see the statistical impossibility and improbability that this many people voted for Joe Biden and all these things happened in concert. When you vote by mail and you submit it to the county or you submit your ballot, the ballot should be automatically randomized, like a deck of cards. You don't know what's going to come out, especially when you have millions and millions of them. So do we have these charts available to put up on screen really quick? So because of the mail-in balloting, it was more likely that fraud was committed, but it's also more likely that we can discover that fraud. It is more likely that we are able to actually be able to find out the fraud that they may or may not have been engaged in. So if you look at Florida, we'll have these charts up on screen in a second. Florida followed about a 50-50 skew of the vote ratio batch. But in the other states, there wasn't enough randomness. There was almost a very predictable flow to how these ballots were actually being opened and reported. So what does that mean? If Florida, you win by 3%, then you could assume mail-ins would maybe skew 50-50 or slightly for Biden, which they do. And that ratio held throughout the election day counting. But in the key states, they don't. Mail-in voting makes it easier to be able to detect fraud because it automatically randomizes the ballots. And so we're going to get some of these on screen, and we're going to do a deeper statistical analysis. But is this, what state is this? This is Florida. So this is the way it should look. And what you have on the x-axis is the batch reporting time. So that's basically the time and the dates of when this stuff comes in. And then on the y-axis, you have the vote ratio of batch. So this is Florida, and let's go to the next one. And now we have Wisconsin. Do you see the difference? Especially when it comes to the randomization side of it. We'll go to the next one. Is that Pennsylvania? That's Minnesota. Very, very suspicious. Not an equal distribution of 50-50. Next one. Pennsylvania. Even more suspicious. And so you can take that off screen. We're going to have a couple mathematicians on the program to help explain all this in further detail. And what I find to be most interesting is how the activist media has decided to ask none of these questions. Remember when they were into Russian collusion and foreign interference in our elections, and they controlled all the institutions. They control the governmental institutions. They control the media institutions. They control all the major institutions in our country to be able to push an outright and complete fabricated lie against the president. And so what's incredible is how the activist media, the minute that Joe Biden gets coronated as president, they just stop caring about things that they used to actually care about. For example, the New York Times wrote, as more vote-by-mail faulty ballots could impact elections. It goes through here and actually goes to show that potentially Republicans could benefit from absentee ballots. This is the reason they wrote this in 2012. But then there was a methodology that was developed, kind of a machinery in California of ballot laundering. And this is called granny farming. We talked about this earlier with the 1,776% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds in Pennsylvania. Voting, and this is very interesting. Voting by mail also played a crucial role in the 2000 presidential election in Florida, when the margin between George W. Bush and Al Gore was razor thin and hundreds of absentee ballots were counted in apparent violation of state law. The flawed ballots from Americans living abroad, including some without postmarks and some postmarked after the election, some without witness signatures, some mailed from within the United States, and some sent by people who voted twice, all would have been disqualified had the state's election law been strictly enforced. You know what this is? This is the New York Times in 2012 making an argument that absentee ballots and strict election laws would have helped Democrat Al Gore. Oh, how times have changed. Now you're not even allowed to talk about this. This is written in 2012. In a recent primary here, almost 40% of ballots were not cast in a voting booth on the day of the election. They were split between early votes cast at polling places and absentee votes, which makes him nervous. Mr. Sancho, the Leon County election supervisor. Efforts to prevent fraud at polling places have ironic consequences, a professor at Loyola Law School told the Senate Judiciary Committee last September. He said they will, quote, drive more voters into the absentee system, where fraud and coercion have been documented to be real and legitimate concerns. And we're going to reread what I said earlier, that voters in nursing homes can be subjected to subtle pressure, outright intimidation, or fraud. The secrecy of their voting is easily compromised. If I was a ballot launderer, I would go intercept votes. And oh, wait, it says exactly that. And their ballots can be intercepted both coming and going from the nursing homes. And so it's long past time for the Department of Justice to open an investigation into every single one of these questions. How is there 95% turnout in Philadelphia? There was no Biden ground game, but they were able to generate record amounts of enthusiasm and turnout. How did Republicans do well in all states except the ones that critically mattered? For example, things typically happen regionally. A very smart guy that I respect, Chadwick Moore, had a tweet that said, quote, all the New York suburbs except Westchester flipped from blue to red. But we're supposed to believe that Pennsylvania went to Joe Biden? As of now, Trump's support increased in all five boroughs of New York City from 2016 to 2012, in some cases by double digits. How did that not materialize just a couple hundred miles away in Pennsylvania? But we see in the Benford's Law analysis that there was no act of randomness in Pennsylvania, that there was probably a lot of fraud that happened. And then there's question also remains of Dominion voting systems. Do you know that Texas denied Dominion voting systems from being used in any of their elections? The state of Texas did. Do you know that Dominion Voting Systems was in partnership with the Clinton Foundation, and Dominion Voting Systems changed 6,000 votes in the state of Michigan? 6,000 votes. Sidney Powell, attorney for Michael Flynn, Cut 5, says there has been a massive and coordinated effort to steal this election. More than 450,000 ballots in the key states. Let's play Cut 5.
Yes, there has been a massive and coordinated effort to steal this election from we, the people of the United States of America, to delegitimize and destroy votes for Donald Trump, to manufacture votes for Joe Biden. They have done it in every way imaginable, from having dead people vote in massive numbers to absolutely fraudulently creating ballots that exist only voting for Biden. We've identified at least 450,000 ballots in the key states that miraculously only have a mark for Joe Biden on them and no other candidate.
And the real number is even higher than that, 500,000. I want to play cut 1, then 23, then cut 8. This is General Thomas McHenry, and I mispronounced his name yesterday. I apologize for that. Play cut 1 when he talks about the hammer and scorecard. Play cut 1.
The Obama administration took this system and they put in an application in this SIGINT program called Scorecard. And scorecard changes votes at a certain point in the voting stream. And if I can, and by the way, the Obama administration used it in the 2012 election in Florida. And so both Obama and Biden are very familiar with this. Now,
and then play the next cut.
We talked about the Dominion software. I know that there were voting irregularities. Tell me about that.
That's to put it mildly. The computer glitches could not and should not have happened at all. That is where the fraud took place, where they were flipping votes in the computer system or adding votes that did not exist. We need an audit of all of the computer systems that played any role in this fraud whatsoever. And, you know, Joe Biden had it right. He said that he had the biggest voter fraud organization ever, and he didn't need people's votes now. He would need people later. They had this all planned, Maria.
They had this all planned is exactly right. This is why the vaccine was not announced. This is why they stopped counting in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, the Dominion voting systems, the 500,000 ballots that were just for Joe Biden, 14,000 dead people on the rolls. We have 1,300 of their names right here that actually voted. 95% turnout in Philadelphia. This is time for the Department of Justice to get heavily involved in investigating this quickly. Find the whistleblowers, offer them immunity, and find out who is at the top of this and who is orchestrating this fraud on the American people. Because millions and millions of people rose up to vote for this president. And they're already talking about squeezing and threatening and targeting anyone who dares speak out against them. The activist media wants nothing to do with this. They call everything the Trump boom. That the Dow and S&P 500 hit record. I mean, the Biden boom. The Dow and S&P 500 hit record highs. While Pfizer refused to allow that news to come out in the midst of an election, despite President Donald Trump, who deserves credit for it. Do we have cut of Louis Gohmert here, who is now calling into Dominion Voting Systems, which is a Clinton Foundation project? Let's play this. Louis Gohmert.
They knew he didn't have to get out and campaign and work like President Trump because the fix was in between ES&S and Dominion and some of the plans that were in place or the equipment that they had installed and the software and how it was set up. But I can tell you, unless the fraud is exposed,
yeah,
and that's what's being worked on, then the president will not be able to win. Apparently, the model they were the people behind this were planning on was that Trump, at best, might be able to get as many votes as Obama did in his best election, and so when it was moving toward pronouncing Trump as the winner and president reelect. He had flown by Obama's numbers. They weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
So they had to figure out how do you come up with enough votes? We're about to lose this thing. So you suspend counting and you go back and work again. But yeah.
Congressman Louie Gohmert talking exactly what happened. They saw the deficit. They made up for it. I want to get to, what is it, cut 23 that we have queued up here? Let's play cut 23. Sidney Powell.
If you look at Florida, where things were done right, you can see that that's how the rest of the country should have gone. But they also used an algorithm to calculate the votes they would need to flip. And they used the computers to flip those votes from Trump to Biden and from other Republican candidates to their competitors also. I think Doug Collins had the race stolen from him. I think John James had his race stolen from him. It wasn't just President Trump. There were many people affected by this. We have got to fight tooth and nail in federal court to expose this abject fraud and the conspiracy behind it and get a recount and audits in every place it's needed, which is, frankly, most of the country.
And that's exactly right. Why aren't most Republicans saying that? Why aren't most senators out there echoing and reinforcing Sidney Powell? Why is it that she's in the vast minority? Why is it that former President George W. Bush has come out and already congratulated Joe Biden preemptively when it is so obvious that there are massive issues when it comes to the vote tallying and the irregularities? How is it that mathematical laws are violated in multiple states and counties where votes are supposed to be counted? Are mathematical laws violated very often? Of course not. Can someone explain who gave the stand down order for people in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee to stop counting on election night? And some people are wondering, what's the difference between an audit and a recount? The recount would find something in regards to Dominion voting systems. A hand recount would expose Dominion voting systems. An audit will expose the deeper voter registration fraud, absentee ballot fraud, and irregularities that are surrounding all these other issues. A recount is simply just putting the ballots back and just saying Trump, Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden, Biden, Trump, and putting them in categories and saying this has now been recounted. That would only expose irregularities when it came to the software, of which there's plenty of evidence to show hammer and scorecard, Dominion voting system, 6,000 votes changed in Michigan. And by the way, a recount is also very, very susceptible to fraud as well. A recount is not just going to be an automatic win for the person who demands it. You need to make sure that you have the right people staffing it. You need to make sure that they're not throwing away ballots, that they're counting them properly, that they're doing it the correct way, and that you're able to actually count everything with integrity and ethically and above board. And so these questions must be answered. And who's the one that's supposed to do that? The state legislators across the country, legislatures, they must now say, we are not going to put forth our electors until we get answers to these questions. They will be met with a tsunami and a hurricane of media backlash. This fight is worth it. They cannot be allowed to get away with this abject fraud and theft of the American voting system. By the way, if there were no ethical questions outstanding, then fine. Certify the election. Whatever. Vote for the electors and move on. But how is it that in every single one of these core states, we have problems? 62,000 people voted for just Joe Biden in Wisconsin. 98,000 people voted for just Joe Biden in Pennsylvania. 85,000 only voted for Joe Biden in Georgia. 42,000 in Arizona. Why is it that we are able to sit here with a list of deceased people that shows that they voted? Dead people that voted. How is that possible? Ethel Willis voted, born in 1919. Catherine Kelly, 1915, voted. The whole list is here. This is publicly available. Is this not evidence enough for Republicans to start to go on television and demanding answers of deceased voters that voted in this election? Who's voting for them? It's a scheme that is now being clear called ballot laundering, where you take legitimate ballots, you fill them out illegally and illegitimately, you clean them by stuffing them and putting them into the system,
And then you take your hands back and you say, well, we'll see what happens. I encourage all of you to go to charliekirk.com for all of your latest news and analysis. We're also going live every night on YouTube at youtube.com/therealcharliekirk. Is that the right URL? Real Charlie Kirk? Okay. And you can always check out charliekirk.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to get an explanation from one person in the Biden campaign how they were able to violate Benford's law. People are asking all the time, what can we do to actually help and support? What can we do to actually get involved right now? The answer is this. The answer is that the state legislators must open these investigations immediately. And where is the Department of Justice? The Department of Justice has completely abdicated their role and their responsibility to look into voter fraud and voter irregularities. This comprehensive whiteboard that we have, guess what? We're adding another whiteboard tonight. We're going to add even more information when it comes to this, because there are things that we are uncovering that are coming in at a rapid pace in real time. And it is time that we start to demand of our Republican leaders answers out of everything, not just answers when it comes to what happened here, but why aren't you contesting and fighting all of this? I want to thank those of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank some people here. Janet from Florida, thank you so much for your support. Nicole from North Carolina, thank you. Tom from Illinois coming in very generously, thank you for your support. Dino from South Carolina, thank you for your support. I want to thank Nathan from Pennsylvania. Thank you for your support. It's charliekirk.com/support. We are going to continue to dive deep into all this. Email us what you want us to continue to go into. But we are on top of this. We are not going to let go, because this issue is truly an issue about the future of our republic, and with it, the future of our country. And so we'll be back tonight. I want to thank you guys so much for your support. charliekirk.com/support. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you in a couple hours.